Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are joined this morning by Rabbi Binyamin Jacobs, Chief Rabbi of the Netherlands, and we wanted to talk about Shavuot around the world. So we know that Shavuot commemorates the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and that's a moment that it unites the Jewish people around a shared covenant and identity. And of course, it's very interesting because Rabbi Jonathan Sacks speaks about it, the fact that we received the Torah outside of Israel. In other words, that in itself is showing that Judaism actually can survive and has survived outside of Israel. Of course, Israel being very connected to it as well through the agricultural festival, but it really just does show all of these things. Rabbi Jacobs has lived and worked across different parts of the Jewish world, and we wanted to chat to him to understand how it feels different in different parts of the world in different years, but what in fact unites everybody and Jews around the world on Shavuot. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm sure it's very, very bright and early, or maybe not bright, but still very early, wherever in the world we found you. I hope you are well.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. Yes, I'm well, Baruch Hashem. Thanks, God.
So it's a fascinating thing because Shavuot is, of course, in many ways, a festival of unity. But there are different countries, different traditions, different experiences, Jews living through all sorts of things. What has been your experience in Shavuot in different parts of the world where you've seen, and what ultimately is it that brings us together?
Well, of course, what brings us together is that the receiving of the Torah on the Mount of Sinai, that's no discussion about it. Mm. But there's probably, you'll be more interested in what is different in Holland.
Absolutely.
Well, in Holland, first of all, you know, in the whole world, people are waiting between meat and milk. You're waiting 6 hours or 3 hours. Mm. In Holland, we wait 1 hour. I personally not, but, you know, that's a Dutch minhag, the Dutch custom. No, only 1 hour. So the fact that on Shavuot, the first day, the whole world eats first milchik, and then afterwards, you know, you stop and you start eating meat. Whereas at this, there's another minhag in Holland, that in Shabbat in general, we don't, Holland, we don't know. Well, I know because of, you know, my wife, a background. Mm, but in Holland, the Dutch people don't eat Holland. So they only eat milchiks on Shabbos, every Shabbos. But that's, with that, cheese, fish, that's the normal thing on Shabbat. But this year, it is different. Why is it different this year? Well, in general, it's of course everywhere the same Torah and with different minhagim, but you know it is different. Why is this year different? First of all, the situation with the Arabs, with the Muslims, and I don't want to accuse any Muslims. You can't.
Of course, speak
of in
course.
General, the Muslims.
Yes,
of
yes.
course not. But yes. On the other hand, at this very moment, it's very difficult in Holland. I'm just telling you today. In general, there was supposed to be today, Erev Shavuot, was supposed to be, the Jewish school was supposed to be, half a day school. It's closed. Because yesterday came a phone call, they want to attack the school,
no.
So all children had to stay home.
Oh, my word.
Then the government is very nice to us, it's protecting us. But the two Jewish schools, what are there, it's like a bunker. You know, it's so much police around. So police standing there with guns. It's not acceptable. If you go to Antwerp, it's only 1 hour, for 1.5 hours from my house. There's a very strong Jewish community. There it is in the streets. Soldiers are standing there. If I go to shul, if I go somewhere, myself, I go somewhere just nobody knows I'm going there. No problem. I can go. But it's been announced that I'm going to be the speaker. And recently also, when I go on Shabbat, and of course, if Yom Tov, go to Shul,
right.
Then I'm not allowed to go myself anymore. four policemen are standing in front of me, of my house. Policemen, not visible policemen, and two cars. Of course, I don't drive. They're driving around me, and that's the way I go to shul. That never ever happened on Shavuot. Yes, protection, Jewish communities. That's really for many years. But after the October 7th, it is getting worse and worse and worse. And that was a big thing going on. That on the last week, the mayor of Utrecht, she is a lady, a very nice lady. She went also to be present by the memorial of the Akbar. And go fine, go there. But you know, they removed the flowers what were put there on the 4th of May. That's the official day for the Holocaust Memorial Day. They put it away, and instead of that, they put new flowers for the Palestinians. It hurt it very. It was very, very hurting. And of course, you apologize for the mistake. But you know, a mistake does not come out of the blue. And you know, so we feel more and more.
Isolated.
Can we continue living isolated? Can we continue living in Holland? I'm not leaving. I'm living here for ages.
It's so ironic, given the fact that the Netherlands, Amsterdam, has always been known as one of the most open and accepting and tolerant cities. And I'm not talking about obviously the Holocaust. That's a whole different. There's a lot of nuance and a lot of discussion around that in terms of the community. But if you look to that, I mean, I know that whenever I've been to Holland, to Amsterdam, visiting friends, I would always wear a kippah. I never thought that it would be a problem. And yet at the same time, and it's interesting what you say, because I was with a friend who lives in Amsterdam, and there were two things that struck me. Number one is we went out for a meal, and then an hour at one of the kosher restaurants, and then an hour later he could have coffee, which I thought was it was odd, but for me. But then the second part of it was he drove me through the neighborhood and past the Jewish school, and I noticed the amount of security, and that was even before October the 7th, and that I found quite significant.
It's a very big misunderstanding. First of all, you speak about Amsterdam, right? I'm also born in Amsterdam. I'm not living there at the moment, but that makes a difference. Mm. But in Holland, Jews were not only living in Amsterdam. Every town, every village, even small villages, had a Jewish community. We were completely integrated. And that's the sad story. Because the Jews, before, people would think in Holland, all the Jews were saved. No, 80% of my family, after the war, of course, was killed. Mm. We have the highest percentage. But, you know, we have Anne Frank. And people go there. It's great to see what happened. Yeah, the history is, of course, very nice. Nice. You understand what I mean? But the people believe that the Germans were the killing ones and the Dutch were the protecting ones. No, not at all. We had the highest percentage of Jews killed in Europe. 80% of Dutch Jewish population was killed. And nobody speaks about it. After the Second World War, you know, I'm not speaking about 7th of October. I'm really warning myself at least 15 years. Be aware, it's coming back. My father, he always told me when I was a little boy, like my whole generation, born straight after the war, 1949. You know, we should not worry. This will never happen again. So he never told us for what we should not worry. Then when I was a teenager, he told me, you know, be aware. It could happen. And before he was nifter, he died, he warned me very strong. Be very, very aware. It is happening again. And that is what's going on. It's really for 15 years. I can't go with the public transport. It's too dangerous. 15. Yeah, so after the war, after the Second World War, after liberation, then the anti-Semitism was very, very strong. Because those people who survived, they were not at all very welcome. Not at all. Because people took away the houses. Where are the houses for my family? Where's the bank account? Where's the life insurance? Nothing. Zero. We were not welcome after the war. And that, you know, it's a misunderstanding. It kept up very, very strong. All Jews were saved.
Oh, no, no, I never thought that. I read a fascinating book. I don't know if it was called The Paper Dolls or something like that. And it actually shocked me when I started to understand the extent of the horror for that community in during the Second World War. Is there recognition as to how vulnerable the community is? And you made a comment, the government is very nice and they're very supportive, but supportive measures like security, like giving you security when you walk to shul or to an event is one thing, but addressing the problem and the causes of this is much more difficult and requires much more commitment. Does that exist?
Absolutely, absolutely. No, not absolutely not enough. Yeah, it's like giving someone a paracetamol when you have headache, but it does not help the problem. It takes away the symptoms, and that's what's going on. The schools are protected, the houses are protected. It's very nice how they care about us, the government, but there's a problem, a very serious problem, and it's called education. There's no education. People just don't know anymore what is Jewish. They don't know because we are very, very few. Yeah, we only, let's say in Holland, 30,000 Jews. Forget it. You know, the Jews are visible Jewish. And I don't mean Orthodox, but you know, they could walk around with a Magen David or something like that. Yeah, that's only a very small percentage, perhaps altogether in the whole of Holland, spread over the whole through the whole of Holland, be 10,000. They're not, absolutely not more members of communities or people in some kind of way once a year to shul or a tree in Israel. It's not more than 10,000 spread through the whole of Holland. Yes, Amsterdam has a Jewish community more than other places, but it's only it's you know, the last butcher closed a few months ago. Wow. So there's no kosher butcher anymore. We're very celebrating now. The two supermarkets are joining now. But it means from two, we go now to one. It's getting smaller and smaller because the people who want to live Jewish are leaving. And nevertheless, I'll stay.
Yes, yes. And especially the youth, I imagine.
Yes. It's also practical better to go away. All the elderly people have the pension, why stay here if they have to get the pension anyway? People since October 7th, I never had so many people who needed from me a letter that they are Jewish right. In order to get able to go back as I go to Israel. I don't see believing a lot, no, I don't see that, but they are prepared to leave when needed, and that you see more and more and more people are preparing themselves. Yeah, I think we should not leave. We should meanwhile stay here and at least show that we don't accept being
kicked out, thrown out effectively. Yeah, you know, making life so intolerable for the Jewish community that they feel they have no choice but to go. I know that it's.
We should not give in to blackmail.
I hear that. I know that at one stage, and I don't know what it is like today. For example, there was a very strong B'nai Akiva youth movement. What does that look like today?
But what can I say? It's getting weaker and weaker.
Yeah.
It's getting weaker and weaker, and you know. Or it's B'nai Akiva, or whatever it is. We are quite well united, but you know, at the same time, when I get more requests from people who need a rabbinical letter that's a Jewish, because people are coming back, people who never ever did something Jewish now come back. That's very nice to hear. But how many people decided, and now I'm not going to cut off myself? Being himself being cut off from the Jewish community. How many? Those I don't see. Yeah, so I think assimilation is also getting more and more strong. So the answer is there are attacks from outside, terrorism.
Yes.
But there's also a problem inside, assimilation.
Right. Yes, yes. What is
aware of that also.
You know, it's we. Amsterdam and the Netherlands was very much in the news when there was this what's been called a pogrom during the soccer, and it obviously was a very, very disturbing and alarming realization for Jews and people who care about Jews around the world when we saw what was happening. What has been the reaction from regular people from the Netherlands? And by regular, I mean that they aren't Jewish, they aren't pro-Palestinian, they're just people that have been living in the Netherlands, living in the area for generations. What is their, what's been their reaction to it?
I'll explain you. After, straight after the Second World War, after the Holocaust, this professor, Presser, he made an, he's an historian. He wrote about what happened during the Second World War in Holland. 5%, only 5% from the Dutch people were collaborating with the Nazis. Only 5%. But also 5% was fighting them. 90% just let it happen, looked away, and chose the easiest way. And that's happening today too. There are very, it's a very strong Christian organization, Christians for Israel. They are amazing. They are standing on the front to help us and to support us, to help Israel and do anything you want. Their own house, building Israel product centers, they're selling products from Israel. Their own building has been now surrounded with a fence, with electricity on the fence. Because they get, they also got attacked. You know, there was an attack on the Jewish school. There was an attack in, on the Rotterdam synagogue, and there was an attack on their Jewish building. They are not Jewish, but they are fighting like crazy, and they get attacked physically, demonstrations against them, but also attacked by government. They get accused that they give money to the colonists on the occupied territories. That they're supporting, you know, they're getting more and more in trouble, but they're fighting back. That's a small group, but they are very, very supportive. But the majority, like I say, the same by the Muslims also, the majority just wants peace, and that's the easiest way, 90%, and that we see here in Holland. Happening very, very, very visible. 90% looks away. The majority of the newspapers just joins the easiest way, the Palestinians. The majority, the official NOS, that's the official national television, they are very, very against Israel. They won't say they are against Israel, but the way they bring
them. But the narrative, yeah, it's the same. I would say it's very, very much the, very, very much the same around the world, and in South Africa, media, unfortunately, is that. So what is your message? Because as we head to our 7 o'clock news, we do need to wrap up. But what is your message from the Jewish community in the Netherlands? What is your message to Jewish communities around the world?
On Shavuot, we remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God gave us Torah and tradition. And that is the secret of our existence. Forget, be aware, be, protect yourself, make sure you're safe, your children are safe. At the same time, we should continue with the Kabbalat HaTorah to receive the Torah with an open mind and know that at the end of this of the day, Jewish people, Am Yisrael Chai, we are alive and we always survive. Absolutely. And if we don't want to do it for ourselves, we should not do it because all the our parents, our grandparents, our great-great-grandparents went through the same, and even in a much worse way. And we should keep that up and don't. We should not cut off our connection with all our relations from ages after ages. We should be makabel the Torah, ba'ahava, with love, with simcha, and with joy, although it's sometimes difficult.
That is where we leave it. Thank you. Beautiful indeed, Rabbi Jacobs Binyamin. Wishing you a Chag Sameach, peace, and a time of a celebration.